Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves. You're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit NCL.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line ships registry with Bahamas and USA.
This is The Bench.
The Bench.
On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
It's confirmed. Blake Snell is stupid. So, there. Now, I can understand, though, guys, like Scottie Pippen. He did a 7-year, $16 million deal. When that was it was horrific by the end of the deal, but he said, I wanted that guaranteed money. $16 million is a lot of money. Blake Snell did 5 years, 50, but he even bet on himself. I mean, dude has turned into one of the best pitchers in the league, and he's going to be by the time this thing is done, what is it, through 2024, he's going to be so pissed off at that last year but it's on him. He wanted that guaranteed money right away. And you can't blame him, $50 million. But when you look at the other pitchers, and there's going to be guys that are making as much as he is that are middle-of-the-pack guys.
And he is 27, and his deal runs through, what age will he be? Once this is over, he'll be 30. So there's still a big deal.
Yeah.
He's still got probably one big deal if he continues to pitch as well as he has. But yeah, he's I'm with you. I get it. I don't know his situation where he came from, who he may or may not have to support. But all things being equal, and if he was in a good situation, yeah, he's kind of screwed himself money wise.
Yeah. And KJ's right. I think it was 7 years, $18 million. The worst part of the Pippen deal was the owner told him not to sign it. It was too long of a deal. Pippen said, no, I want that. Okay. All right, Scott. And then he was pissed off the whole second half of his contract. But that's just being dumb. Lincoln Riley. Man, I was with we were talking some college football yesterday. I was with somebody at a school. And he says, man, we are planning on playing week one. And Lincoln Riley blasted the ridiculous plan for players to return on June 1st. You know, June 1st might be a little much. Why don't you bring them in about June 15th? They get a couple of weeks to work out. Then you start. You know, listen, camp doesn't start till August. The end of July, August. The season doesn't start until September. Don't rush the. Why you got to bring them in? Well, we got to see coaches right now. College coaches not having their hands on these kids is killing them. And we really have we seen any problems from any college? We haven't seen in the police blotters anything, right, Del? I haven't seen anything of you.
Nothing egregious, certainly. To be honest, no, nothing so far.
Dunbar and Baker are pros.
They're pros.
They're professional thieves as well, which is nice.
Yep.
They're not very good.
Do you think this is what the NCAA meant when most of our athletes are going to go home to pros and something else besides sports?
Right.
Baker and Dunbar said, we'll do both. We'll be professionals in multiple things.
For those of you that haven't heard, DeAndre Baker.
Of the Giants.
And Quentin Dunbar of Seattle, they were at a party. Baker went and got his gun, and they robbed everybody at the party. $7,000. They got watches worth thousands upon thousands. $25,000 watch. Another one that's worth even more. And they were at a party where everybody knew him.
Yeah, and just to point out, DeAndre Baker was a first-round pick, I think, or was he a second? Either way, he first-round pick, just finished up his rookie year. Now, at bottom of the first round, so certainly isn't making millions of dollars, $495,000 was his salary this year. Got a signing bonus of almost one and a half. So, DeAndre Baker, what the hell are you doing robbing people? You don't need the money. You have massive debt someplace we don't know about at 21 years old, you did need the money.
Well, apparently Baker and Dunbar, somebody said they saw him at a party a couple days earlier, and they had lost $70,000 there.
Well, maybe that's the thing. They have gambling problems.
You think?
Yeah. And
somebody said at this party as well, that somebody said it was just an outdoor, I don't know, some kind of outdoor party. But then somebody else said, no, they were gambling, and they lost, and they came back, had some kind of altercation, came back with a gun and semi-automatic weapons. And Baker said, kill that guy, shoot that guy, to somebody who didn't pull the trigger, thankfully. Otherwise, Baker is facing not only robbery, armed robbery charges, but he's facing murder charges as well.
Yeah, shout out to the in-the-box safety who decided not to fire a weapon. The two corners were asking him to. He's like, no, I'm not doing that.
Are you sure it was an in-the-box safety?
Might have been a nickel guy.
Some hangers-on, a hanger-on.
Look, if two cornerbacks are robbing people, I imagine they brought along another NFL safety to help them out.
You think that it was an NFL safety?
Maybe a smallish linebacker who they can keep on the field on third downs. I don't know. I'm just going to assume their whole crew were NFL players.
Man. I bet the Texans wish it was Gibson so they wouldn't have to pay him.
I don't think they want that trade-off.
They've already traded. They've already cut him.
Yeah. Do they still owe him money?
Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, just don't. And I agree with Lincoln. Why are you rushing it? Oh, because we got to have our kids. Got to have the kids. We got to work them. They got to be in the gym. They got to work. Oh, my goodness. You know what? One guy told me, you know what could happen is guys are actually going to stay healthier this year. Guys are actually going to and feel fresher this year because you're not work. They have more than like a week off a year. College football, these kids, they'll get their month off and they get some time. But the way that they work these guys, you know what? A lot of guys might actually benefit from this. So calm down with working your ass off till you can't breathe anymore, puking in March isn't really going to do for much for your training in September.
I think a lot of it has to do with a lot of coaches around college football didn't actually have spring practice with their players. At least certainly – I know Miami only had a week of it, and that might have been the most anyone got before things had to get shut down. So, you know, coaches, control freaks, nervous, freaking out, want to make sure their players are doing things to be ready. But June is early. Now, the SEC is going to vote on the 22nd about opening up their facilities to athletes starting June 1st. So that might have been where Lincoln Riley got – where all that stuff is coming from, because they have a vote in place next Friday about this. And, I mean, when would they be back normally? August for camp.
They're all doing summer school.
Yeah.
Here's the deal, though, is that coaches can't have their hands on them. The only one who can is the strength
guy.
Coach.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so, strength and conditioning coach can have his hands on them all summer. And they can – now, here's the thing – The strength and conditioning coach not having these kids might be a great thing. Might be now, you know, bulk. You might see some linemen there that don't have the bulk or whatever, but that these kids' bodies get a rest is probably a wonderful thing. The thing that will hurt is not getting all. You want as many reps as possible if you're a coach. So spring football, not getting those reps, not being, you know, getting on the same page with your receivers, everybody not being, you know, getting time and getting all this stuff that will help come practice time in fall camp, that will hurt. That will hurt. But listen, in June, these kids go back in June. Do you know how hard the 40s that they're going to run, the yo-yos, the weightlifting, the everything that they're going to put these kids through is ridiculous in June. It's just ridiculous. So it's actually, you know what, wait. Give them, work them out in July, and they start camp in August, and you'll be fine, coaches. You'll be fine.
And really, I know the kids aren't on campus, but some of this virtual stuff, this workouts are going on in terms of the strength guy sends them a circuit to do, and now the kids, depending on what they have access to, are doing that as well. So even De'Aaron King, like, he's a Miami transfer, he's there. He came back to Houston. And the videos of him throwing the football, working out. So certainly the guys who are really in on this and really serious are working out anyway, because they're giving a directive from the strength and conditioning coach. But we know that's not enough for the coach. They want hands on mm-hmm. all the time because they're control freaks. But I'm with you. I would be okay with July, but I feel like even if you want to start this July 1st, so because some coaches think they need 8 weeks, that's what we've heard quite a bit. We need 8 weeks to get our team ready to go, and that would be July.
Because
the season starts week zero. Another week zero is happening this year. It's August 29th. But right around July 1st, that's that 8 week mark, and I'd be like, that makes sense. But June feels like a lot.
Well, and here's another thing. That college football is going to learn is if the NFL doesn't start until October 8th, college football is going to do everything it can to start on time at the end of August, because they're going to have the entire football world to themselves for for about 5 weeks. And they are going 5 or 6 weeks, and college football is going to love it because they're going to get all the attention. And it's what I'm telling you, coaches are – I've heard yesterday, oh, no, we're playing week one. And one coach told me week zero should be week one for college football. So we get 2 weeks without the NFL, which gets all the attention on us. And he's absolutely right.
And apparently, I don't remember what commissioner said it, but the five Power Five conference commissioners are actually talking to the NFL about how they're implementing safety measures, because the NFL apparently got a head start on all this. So they're actually working with the NFL to try to figure out how they can make coming back and playing football as safe as possible. So I'm with you. I mean, the Pac-12 is certainly going to be hurt by the California schools unless they decide, hey, we'll do virtual classes, but the teams will be in a different state. I don't know. We discuss how it doesn't really make that much sense when you can control about 120 people, why it would be much safer to have them on campus than the 30,000 regular students. But right. That's for them to decide. I think that's more a perception thing. It looks bad and stuff. But I feel like the momentum, as long as the leagues start coming back, like we'll see how the European stuff goes starting this weekend. If that stuff starts to roll downhill and then the pro leagues come back, whether it be basketball, hockey, or baseball, then you will see college football and the NFL go, it can be done. And whatever PR hit they took isn't big enough, wasn't that big anyway, so let's get this done.
Well, and you're going to find that the scheduling now, they're going to this may change how they schedule how college football. If there's no NFL and they've got it all by themselves, they're going to go, ooh, we like this. Let's start earlier. And NBA is going to go, wait a minute, we like this. Let's start. We like playing in August because it's us and baseball, and that's it. August is the perfect time for basketball. So let's start in December so we finish our season in August instead of going up against the NFL. Yeah. In November.
It's weird that it took something so destructive and disastrous to force some change, but I don't understand why the NBA, and people have kind of pushed for this, but it would make sense. You don't want to start December, the 25th, you don't want to start on Christmas, but hey, you want to start basketball mid-December and have a lead-up to games. Like, hey, we're back, and by the way, our huge showcase is on Christmas Day. That makes a lot more sense to me than starting a season during the bulk of NFL season.
Absolutely. Now, I could see them starting before Christmas Day because Christmas Day is already big, so they wouldn't want their openers on Christmas Day. The openers will be big and Christmas Day will be big, but start it a week before.
Yeah, treat it like like bowl week, like in college football where they have all these bowls leading up to. Just have your NBA's back week, and then the culmination is you have your best teams playing on Christmas as your showcase to let everyone know, hey, we're back. Come pay attention to the NBA.
Mm-hmm. All right. 7378037776. If you want to get in here, come hang with us.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
Welcome back on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. Have we ever talked more about a player who retired 20 years ago than this Michael Jordan thing?
No. I think there are multiple things that lead up to this. You know, there's nothing else to watch, but it's also a more in-depth look at the best player to ever play the game. So I think a lot of it at I can't think of one. I mean, Michael, basketball lends people to having these discussions because Michael Jordan becomes a guy who, as a legend, everyone compares. And is he better than this guy? Is he better than this guy? Do we have these discussions in baseball? Like, who's the all-time great? Is there consensus in baseball?
Babe Ruth.
And everyone would say that's correct.
Yeah. I mean, his numbers versus the rest of the league are, there's nobody. It's like Gretzky versus, although Ovechkin is catching up. But those numbers versus the rest of the league are ridiculous. Like Jerry Rice versus every other wide receiver. It's like, Babe Ruth's numbers versus the league. He had more home runs than teams had in some seasons, in a lot of seasons.
The Jerry Rice thing is interesting because I hear, because of Brady and the position and the Super Bowls, he's the GOAT. But it's not strictly limited to the best quarterback of all time. It's the best player of all time. Is Jerry Rice a better player than Tom Brady?
Yeah.
But Jerry Rice doesn't get that. When the GOAT, when people say the GOAT, they're generally talking about a quarterback, and that quarterback is Tom Brady.
Right. 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 Well, and six titles. Well, but Jerry Rice won. But Jerry Rice was just a better player. Jerry Rice, Tom Brady and his numbers versus the numbers of all the other quarterbacks, he's not.
No, he doesn't blow them away.
No, Jerry Rice blew all the other wide receivers away.
I agree.
So,
but
he won titles.
And I think but Tom Brady is going to be, because of the position and the glamorization of the position, and rightfully so, most important position in sports, we all know. That title is probably going to go to Brady. Unless when he's done, because we know it'll happen. Once Tom Brady is done, there'll be a relitigation of him. Is he actually the best player of all time? And then that discussion will be driving sports media for who knows how long.
Yeah. Rice, 1,549. Larry Fitzgerald, 1,378. And he's been around for 80 years. I mean, Jerry Rice is – it's not even – all of his numbers, they're Gretzky-esque.
Would you put a defensive player as being better than Tom Brady? Would you say Lawrence Taylor is a better football player than Tom Brady is?
I would say yes.
I would too.
Yeah.
We know how that would play out in terms of discussion.
You said better football player, but yet Brady is still the GOAT. And in my mind, Brady is still the GOAT anyway. He's still the GOAT.
But the greatest of all time as a football player, or just the greatest quarterback of all time?
The greatest of all time.
How could he be the greatest of all time if there's a better football player?
Best player?
Yeah.
Because to me, there's MVP and there's Offensive Player of the Year. Those can be two different things. Who was the most valuable? And who was the greatest of all time because of what he did?
Well, I think Tom Brady would be more valuable because of the position he plays and what that means. And then I would say there's a better. Jerry Rice is a better player. And
Player of the year versus most valuable, right? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And that's what the GOAT is to me is the most valuable player.
But back to MJ, he was both of those.
Right.
I would take Rice as a better football, the GOAT in terms, because that's how I measure it. If you're the best player to ever play the game, I'm calling you the GOAT, and I would put Rice over Brady.
And yet Jordan's stats aren't head and shoulders. Now, during his time, which was a great time for basketball, he was the leading scorer, the best player, won the titles, he did all of that. But his numbers aren't the best in NBA. Which is the argument for Kareem Abdul-Jabbar to be the greatest player of all time. He won titles. He scored. He did everything. Rebounds, everything. you could make the argument that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is the greatest of all time.
True. Very true. Well, that's why these debates go on and on, because you can pick and choose different things to make a point.
Absolutely. But I can't remember anyone that has been gone for so long. And you're right. I think it's a captive audience. And the documentary certainly has played into this. But, I mean, well, and ESPN has nothing else to talk about. So it's nonstop about Jordan, LeBron, Scottie Pippen. You see, Scottie yesterday said he was pissed how he's looking in the documentary.
Well, the last episodes weren't kind. The one where you decided to sit on the bench. Yeah, I wouldn't feel great about it either.
No, I mean, yeah, I mean that they – look, there's a lot of things that they've left out. I'm sure Scottie's going, oh, really? Why aren't you talking about throwing the ball in Judd Bushler's face? Why aren't you talking about Horace Grant not eating on the plane? Why aren't you talking about – well, you're going to talk about my 1.8 seconds? Really?
Well,
that Mike, you got – Mike, you got an editorial over this. Why are we talking about 1.8 seconds?
Because it doesn't make Mike look bad, your 1.8 seconds.
Mike looks fine. Mike looks just fine.
And you had all your teammates talking about you quit. Bill Cartwright cried talking about you quitting on the team. And Scottie's like, that's not – Michael wasn't even playing. Why are we focused on things where Mike's not even on the roster? I thought it was about Mike. I thought it was about The Last Dance, not Scottie Pippen. Well, Scotty.
Well, right.
Sorry.
What? Listen, that was in 94 or 5, right?
Mike wasn't 90, on the team.
No, Mike wasn't. It was 94.
And it's not
this
90.
This is The Last Dance, 98. Yeah, what are we doing here?
Mike's not on the team. It's not about. It's not even about 98, The Last Dance. Why are we talking about 94 when he wasn't even playing basketball?
Why are we talking about 1.8? We talk about 1.8.
Well, it's a bad look for you, Scotty.
Yeah, no, he says, I'm pit. What the hell? Why am I catching it here? Okay, Mike, I thought you said you couldn't have done it without me. Why are you doing 1.8 all the time?
This was a time where I wasn't around, and so clearly you tried to do something without me, and you quit. So we're going to talk about it. And Mike was like, Scotty's not going to live that down, or he said something like that.
Yeah.
Steve Kerr was almost crying in it.
I know, right? And oh my God, about 1.8. We heard from Bill Cartwright, Horace Grant,
Tony Kukoc,
Michael Jordan, Phil Jackson, Steve Kerr,
Tony.
Did BJ come in on this one?
I don't know.
I don't remember if BJ chimed in.
I don't know.
BJ might have. Anyway, everybody's like, Scotty's like, what the bleep? And Scotty, we heard from, yeah. What the bleep over here?
And then the star of the show, the guy who made the shot, Tony Kukoc, talked about it too.
Yeah, oh yeah, Kukoc. Yeah, I don't know. I made the shot.
I ain't whatever.
It was the right call.
Yeah.
I made the shot.
They're talking. Apparently, it wasn't just out of Phil Jackson's ass. This is something they had done before, and Tony had made the shot a couple times, not in such a dramatic situation. So that's why he went to the play. And then Scott is like, well, I'm not throwing the ball into that guy.
Are you excited right now? Are you, man, it's a big day. Khloe Kardashian she's not pregnant with Tristan Thompson's baby.
Tristan Thompson
should
be. Tristan Thompson should be excited.
Yeah. So she's not pregnant, or it's not Tristan's baby?
I don't know what you're looking at. What's the story?
That's not even, is that Khloe?
Woman?
What the hell happened to her? Her face is different. What the hell,
well,
Khloe?
It's surprising, huh?
I don't go on social platforms much these days, and this is one of the main reasons as to why I stay away. The sick and hurtful things people say. I'm disgusted by so many things I'm seeing. Shake my head, people swear they know everything about me, including my uterus.
Well, I'm looking at something involving Tristan Thompson where a woman claims that he's the father of her baby. And it happened before Khloe, and so that's another thing involving Tristan Thompson.
Oh.
That he might be the father of multiple kids or none. Well, he's or multiple new kids or no kids. I don't know.
Well, here's another one. Khloe and Tristan Thompson do not have another bun in the oven, despite lots of speculation otherwise. TMZ has learned. Oh, I thought they were going to be a nice.
Were you going to send them a gift?
I know. I just wish and have more kids. That'd be great.
Why? Why do you
want... So they'd be a nice, big, happy family.
They're already a big, happy family. They have a child together, don't they?
Yeah. But another kid... Everybody needs more than one.
Mm, I would disagree.
Right?
Not everyone. Some people don't need any.
Who are these people?
You've met them.
I don't know anybody.
John, if... You don't have to name them because that would be insulting. It might ruin some relationships, and we don't want to do that around here.
Man, Chloe's just getting too much surgery on her face. Come on, girl.
I just
hate that.
Have you met? Do you have people in your friend group where you're like, yeah, you shouldn't have had kids. You're going to be a bad parent.
I know a lot of bad parents. Yeah.
See, so one is one too many already. Why would you add another one to the mix?
Yeah, but it seems to me that the Kardashians have enough money to get somebody that'll,
well,
you know,
certainly
take care of the kids.
One of the big factors in having children, I imagine, not having any, is being able to provide. Now, that's not a problem for Tristan Thompson and Khloe Kardashian, but emotional support and a stable home is something that's good too. I don't know if they have that, but not everyone needs kids.
Most everybody needs kids. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're bundles of joy, Dell.
For the right people who can take care and provide a great environment for them. But not every parent, not every adult should have a child. Some adults aren't equipped for it. That's all I'm saying. They don't have the equipment, John.
If you don't have the equipment to have a child, then that's on you.
No, I'm not saying.
1032.
I'm not talking about that equipment.
1032 ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Stretch my hands to you.
Life like this is what your life like. Try to live your life right. People really know you push your buttons like type right.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Those of you just joining us here, James Harrison, big story yesterday. He says Mike Tomlin gave him an envelope after he came up with a big hit against Muhammad Massaquoi back in 2010. Sean Payton says, I ain't going to do nothing about it. Don't hold your breath. Do not hold your breath. They ain't doing nothing about it. And yet, when it came out about the Saints, Saints fans are just like, probably. I mean, if anybody's got a beef against the league, and I'm tired of Saints fans, right?
Yeah, but even last year.
Saints fan has a beef.
Even last year in their final game, you could say Kyle Rudolph pushed off on P.J. Williams. They didn't make the call for that game-winning touchdown in overtime. It was I feel like a clear push-off, and they didn't make the call. So it's another interference call that didn't go their way. And the rule was put in place to, you know, legislate those type of things.
Oh, and we haven't even talked about it. First of all, there's not going to be any more interference review.
Yeah, the officials were like, okay, you want to play this game?
We'll F this whole thing up.
Yeah, now it's not a thing anymore.
Right. We'll F this up so bad, it's done. How about that they got their way? We never even talked about that. What a bunch of biznotches. We don't want to be second guessed. You're second guessed when you're so terrible you can't ever make a good call. Well, only 12% were overturned. That's because you didn't overturn obvious calls. It's a load of crap.
The NFL decided.
You want to talk about getting a spoiled child getting your way.
And the NFL decided we don't want this as a talking point anymore. We tried something, and our employees said, "Nah." We're not good with this. So we don't want to have to discuss this every week about lack of overturns and why obvious calls aren't overturned.
Right.
So it's no longer a thing anymore.
Oh, my gosh. And we're going to have – and you know what? There's going to be egregious calls that it's just going to be like, really? And at least some of them were overturned, even though – I mean, there were some obvious, obvious calls, especially that one Monday Night Football game. Was it the Packers? Holy crap. Was like, oh my gosh, how can you honestly look at this and say that wasn't interference and do that with a clear conscience?
The NFL gave in like the rest were their petulant child who just stomped their foot until the mom was like, okay, I can't do this at the grocery store again. Just get the candy bar. That's what it was. And like, we're done with this. We don't want to do this anymore.
Man, if I'm the commish, I'm like, okay, refs, if we go and review this, a third party goes and reviews and says that should have been called and you don't overturn it, if we re-review those and you get them wrong, you get four wrong, you're done. You're out. You're out of the league because we can't have this incompetence, because it was incompetence. And not only that, but they were the gall. It was galling how they just said, we're not overturning it. We don't care. Yeah, it's obvious. What?
There was incompetence taught by F you. We don't care.
Yeah.
They got them wrong initially and then decided, you know what? Yeah, it's probably wrong, but you're not going to make us overturn it.
No.
So, sorry.
Incompetence taught by arrogance. Yeah. And they were like, yeah, what? What are you going to do about it? What?
And the answer was nothing.
Nothing. No, actually, okay, we won't do it anymore because we know that you guys don't want it and you guys push back so hard. What a load of crap. What a load that is. It's crap. Another thing we never even talked about was a universal DH.
I think I mentioned it on Wednesday that rule was passed. So if the season comes back, then
you know what's a real possibility? That it stays.
As it should. Yeah. I've never understood really, I don't care so much in the National League during the regular season or even their own postseason. I'm just not I've never understood why in the World Series a team that's played, you're taking away something that is part of their arsenal because, well, it's in a National League park. But when we go to the AL park, we'll give it back to them. And by the way, as we talked about on Wednesday, I think no one wants to see a pitcher hit. We don't care. I don't care. Madison Bumgarner, congratulations. Zach Greinke, even congratulations on being not awful, but I don't want to see you up there.
Well, and it depends. You know what? Might hit Zach Greinke. Zach Greinke's a better hitter than AJ made one. I remember. I forget what it was. He pinch hit somebody for Greinke, and it was like, or in a situation where Greinke was pitching well, and he pulls him, or he made Greinke bunt with a runner on third and nobody out or something. Yeah, third and nobody out. And he made Greinke bunt, and Greinke popped it up and struck out. I was like, are you kidding me? That dude, AJ. Yeah, you should have. You know what? I'm glad he's fired.
He should have got fired for that, shouldn't he?
He should have got fired for that.
Then glad some other manager would have not screwed us with 8 outs to go.
8 outs to go. Yeah. No. If that was Bo Porter, he wouldn't have lost that game with 8 outs to go.
Well, yeah, he wouldn't have because his roster would have been so depleted, he wouldn't have been in any game. Shout out to Bo Porter for biting a bullet as the Astros had to rebuild.
Oh, yeah. Bo Porter goes, hey.
Sacrificial lamb, Bo Porter.
Did you see the team I had? Yeah. Nobody can hire Bo Porter as a manager ever again.
I'm just glad he's back. I'm glad he's still in the league. I think he's with the Braves right now.
He'll never get another managerial job because of what they had.
You lose that many games.
Well, yeah, zero on him.
Actually, he you know what? He was with the Braves, and then in 2019, he was the broadcaster for the Nationals. So he probably got a World Series ring.
Oh, really? Last year he was Nationals broadcaster?
Yeah, for their regional sports network. So I don't know how they treat their employees, but he might have, or even if he is a direct employee of the Nationals.
Oh, I bet
they might have given him a World Series ring.
I bet he was so happy screwing the Astros. Oh, my God. I bet he was thrilled. Yeah, you a-holes. You see, I wouldn't have lost that with 8 outs to go.
Yeah.
I'd have never pulled Greinke. Dumbass AJ.
Bo Porter from 2013 to 2014, 300 total games, 110 and 190.
110 and 190 does not seem like a good winning percentage.
Well, the winning percentage is under 37%. So you're correct, John.
That to me, that's not very good.
And he lived in Houston, so I'm sure this was a dream of his to manage the Astros, and it was a disaster. But I hope I hope the Nationals gave him a ring for calling their games.
I just think that's a bad record. I don't know.
Yeah. And that's why he's now that's why he's calling games as opposed to managing them now.
So is he Is he getting back on the field, or is he still calling?
I don't know what – I don't know as far as 2020 is concerned, but in 2019, he was one of their broadcasters for the regional sports network. But he did coach for the Braves a little after the Astros thing was over for a couple years. But so far, Bo Porter, broadcaster, not in baseball as far as a coach.
All right. Hey, we got one more segment this week. It's called News of the Weird. Weird! That's next right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Okay, so there are two different restaurants. One, Dell, is using 1940 and 50 style mannequins to sit in the seats that people can't sit in, so the restaurant looks full. And the other one is using blow-up dolls. Which one do you want to be at?
The mannequin one is creepy to me. The blow-up dolls, I feel, is just funny. So if I look to my left, let's just say I sat down and having some Kung Pao chicken. I don't know what the restaurant serves, but let's say it's serving that. I look to my left, and there's a blow-up doll, I would laugh. If I just happen to look to my right and at the corner of my eye, I see a mannequin, I'm freaked out a little bit. I'm taking blow-up dolls.
I like blow-up doll, too, because maybe you could pick one up on your way out.
But have they been sanitized?
Oh.
And why do I care if the restaurant looks full? What's the purpose?
Well, you want it to be just like Fox wants the games to be like normal.
No, that makes sense. But because they're going to pump in sound for the people at home to give them some ambiance. Why would a silent mannequin give me ambiance? Are they going to pump in sound where there's clinking of glasses and silverware?
Maybe there'll be some clinking of silverware. They'll have it blasted in over the speakers.
That's fun. That's better than what they're suggesting. I look to my left and I see a mannequin staring dead-eyed back at me. I don't want to see that.
Oh, that's what if it follows you?
If the eyes follow me, like this horror movie, I don't want that. I don't need that.
No, I don't either. I'm going blow up doll. Plus, in case you could take it home
with the agape mouth of a blow up doll looking at you. At least I would laugh.
Right. Apparently, Queensland Highway Police said they discovered a body. They put up all the police tape. Crime scene was established, and they found it was a blow-up doll, a sex doll.
Congratulations to the
It was
that
lifelike,
department.
They said, though.
Was it a sex doll or a blow-up doll? They're different
things.
It was
a sex doll.
Okay. There's something to that, because it's probably really about 60 pounds, not that they – and so I get there's some heft, and it may look somewhat human, but congratulations to you two. You mean the dogs didn't go in there and sniff and come back and go, that's not human.
Right. Forensic – and they put out this statement. Forensic officers commenced investigations which have concluded the body is a lifelike replica doll of a human.
Forensic officers needed to conduct an investigation?
They set up an entire crime scene. Nobody went up and said, hey, that's a doll.
Was it face down? Was it dressed? Why weren't they able to tell without a forensic investigation?
I don't know.
You didn't see any blood, any bruises on the body? Where was this again?
It was in Queensland, in England.
Oh, well, of course.
Dumbasses.
Of course.
The bobbies. They're bobbies. I don't know.
You know Luther. CSI Luther wouldn't have done that, or whatever his name is. DCI Luther wouldn't have let that happen. Idris Elba and Luther would have found out.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. Hey, dummies. Hey, mate. That's a doll. I'm going back home.
Hey, there's a Hong Kong shop, an ice cream shop. It's offering tear gas flavor ice cream. I think that's pretty funny.
Who's trying that? Some dissident goes.
I would.
This tastes familiar.
Tear gas is among new flavors at a Hong Kong ice cream shop.
Is pepper spray on the menu?
The main ingredient is black peppercorns.
Oh, well.
A reminder of the pungent peppery rounds fired by police on the streets.
Do they have protesters doing the testing to see how accurate it is? When the Chinese government tear gassed me, yeah, it was very familiar. It reminds me of it.
Here's the quote. It tastes like tear gas. It feels difficult to breathe at first, and it's really pungent and irritating. It makes me want to drink a lot of water immediately. I think it's a flashback that reminds me of how painful I felt at the movement, and that I shouldn't forget. You see? Hmm. It's a reminder.
Never forget.
Okay. Yeah. Do we have any Alamo? Remember the Alamo?
No, but
do we have any
reminders? Those are a lot of bullets. You want bullet-flavored ice cream?
I guess. I don't know. There's a Colombian company has created hospital beds that can double as coffins, which is convenient, isn't it? Isn't it tough for all the medical people? They have to roll you off. Then you have to bring you downstairs and all this stuff. Instead, they can just package you up right there.
Look, that's morbid as hell. Look, if I enter a hospital room and the bed I'm going to be laying is can be dubbed or doubled off as a coffin, I don't feel real good about my chances of surviving.
Right.
I feel like, guys, did you put me in the death room because you know
and not
something?
Only that, are you going to work your hardest? Are you really going to try your hardest? Because, I mean, this seems very convenient for all of you.
Yeah. Are you really going to be putting in the best effort to save me when all you have to do is wait a couple hours, close the lid, and just roll me out of here?
I don't want that bed.
I don't want that room. I don't want that bed.
No. A Dutch official has advised single people to find a sex buddy for the lockdown. I kind of feel like that's a good, wise, sage advice.
I'm not sure people needed that advice. I feel like that
find
was
somebody
that's
that
the plan.
Doesn't have the roni and just have sex with them.
I know it might be very difficult to find that person, and in normal situations, some people require blood tests to be safe before they start a sexual relationship. Get that COVID swab, get the paperwork, and then just lock down with each other. I feel like that's a plan, but I don't think I would have had to been told that. I feel like that should have been something you started in early March. Go secure the bag, and by bag I mean bag of condoms for you and your girl.
Here's a nice story coming out of Oklahoma City. A black delivery driver blocked into Oklahoma neighborhood by the HOA president. It appears he didn't want him in his neighborhood.
But he was just delivering something, John.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry, I can't deliver here.
And what do you think that delivery driver said, John?
Excuse me. Excuse me.
There are too many white people here.
Look, that if anyone has the right to say that, it's that guy. First of all, the HOA is terrible as it is.
Yeah.
But when they're not delegating or demanding what your house should look like, they get to block the people who come to your house to deliver things.
Frankly, there's just too many white people.
Right. Frankly, there's just too many white people in this neighborhood. I can't deliver here anymore. Just too many white people.
How long they blocked this guy in?
I don't know. I don't. I moved on. We gotta quickly. IKEA is having a rough week. Did you see the story? Apparently, some woman, I think it was in China. I forget where it was. Maybe it was in Shanghai. She videotaped herself masturbating in the IKEA store. So it went viral. So IKEA had to advise all of its customers to please don't masturbate in their stores. Well, now IKEA customers are getting first-degree burns after hand sanitizer was refilled with drain cleaner. Apparently, someone thought this was an idea. IKEA's having a tough – who had a tougher week?
Who, okay. the delivery driver or IKEA?
Or IKEA.
I could,
or Bill O'Brien.
Bill O'Brien didn't do anything this week.
I'm sure he had a rough week.
He didn't even do anything.
No, he started negotiations with Deshaun Watson, and he's already over 40 million.
He's already at 47 million and climbing.
He's having a bad week.
I'm sure. No, Deshaun just looks at Laramie Tunsil and said – oh, you thought 22 was bad. Watch what I'm going to do to you. And the Chiefs are going to say, sorry, Pat. No, I know he got 50. We're not giving you 51. We're not making you a $200 million a year quarterback.
Sorry, pal. Sorry. We're done. And it's the press box.
That's right.
Next right here on ESPN 97.5. Nick Sciarro will join them in a couple hours, right?
That's correct. They're the only show on the station currently where both hosts are in the building, so they are setting a precedent. They are our test run for phase two.
They I'll tell you what they ain't. They ain't Blake Snell.
No.
Okay? They're risking their lives, and they ain't making Blake Snell money.
And they're not going on Twitch to complain about it.
They ain't bitches like Blake Snell.
Oh, there that is again. If you missed it, John has dubbed Blake Snell Blake the Bitch from now on.
That's all. That's it. 10:56. Y'all have a great weekend. We will talk to you again on Monday, everybody.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.